Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Good morning, gorgeous. How are you doing this morning? I hope you're all doing wonderful. Welcome to the Dr. Daff Show. I'm your host, Dr. Michelle Daff. Today we're talking about feminine and masculine roles, specifically in a marriage, and for those of you who are dating, in your relationships. If you desire to live a more feminine lifestyle, if you desire to be with a masculine man, especially for those ladies who really don't know what feminine and masculine roles even are, and you're dating a very traditional masculine man, because those men come from families where they have certain expectations, and if you have no idea what they're even desiring, then you could lose out on the man of your dreams simply because you don't know. And I don't want that for you. I want you to be able to go into your relationships with understanding. And if you desire these things, then you'll know exactly what to also look for when you're dating. We're reading out of our book, Fascinating Womanhood. And this book is written by Helen Andelin. And it says that it is how the ideal woman awakens a man's deepest love and tenderness. This book was written in, I believe, the 70s. I could be wrong, but it was written a while ago. And some of the things that you may read in this book, or you may hear me say, may sound a little outdated, or it might sound like a little bit, I don't know, not rude, but some of the wording that she uses and some of the terminology we have massaged, and we don't say those kinds of things today. So just know that as I read, sometimes it may sound like it's me saying those things, but I'm reading from the book. I try to mesh my commentary with the book so that it's a seamless audio. It's easy to digest, but sometimes it's hard to tell what I'm saying and what I'm reading. And I know that can be a little tricky. But you know, some of the stuff in this book is also just a little triggering to people. This book, I would consider to be a very controversial book, especially in this day and age. I read lots of different things from people who have reviewed this book. People tend to get really triggered by the things that she says, because for one, a lot of these things have been tweaked so much with the culture. Some of these things are just really hard to hear because it's asking so much of us as women, and we don't feel like it's fair. And some of these things are also hard to hear because you as a woman may be just not where you are ultimately going to end up yet. You're still growing, you're still learning. And I guarantee you, a lot of these concepts, you may hear it today and feel like this is so stupid, or this is not what I want. But years down the line, as you grow in wisdom, as you grow in life, you may come back and say, ah, this is actually what I needed. This is what makes sense. So just because something doesn't make sense to you right now doesn't mean that it won't later. So never count these things out. Even if you don't feel like it's for you right now, just tuck it away. You never know when it may be helpful. So with that being said, today we're talking about masculine and feminine roles in relationships. The man being the guide, the protector, and the provider, and the women being the wife, the mother, and the homemaker. We're talking about traditional values. We're also talking about feminine roles. We're talking about how to really bring out your femininity and how to have your husband see you as a beautiful feminine woman who needs to be loved, desired, protected, provided for, and hopefully gain his true love and tenderness through your lifestyle. So with that being said, my dear, I want you to go ahead and sit back, relax, get something to drink, get something to write with, and let's talk about this. The masculine and feminine roles are clearly defined as the man being the guide, the protector, and the provider, and the woman being the wife, the mother, and the homemaker. These are not merely a result of custom or tradition, but they are of divine origin. It was God who placed the man at the head of the family when he told Eve, "Thy desire shall be unto thy husband, and he shall rule over you." The man was also designed to be the protector, since he was given stronger muscles, greater physical endurance, and manly courage. In addition, God commanded him to earn the living when he said, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground." This instruction was given to the man, not to the woman. Genesis 3:16-19. The woman was given a different assignment, that of a helpmeet, a mother, and a homemaker. In Fascinating Womanhood, we apply the word helpmeet to mean the role of the wife as she offers understanding, encouragement, support, and sometimes help. Since she is biologically created to bear children, her role as a mother is unquestioned. Her homemaking role, though, is assumed. She must nurture her young and run the household to free her husband to function as a provider. So that's how she's pulling this idea of a woman being a homemaker, because nowhere in the Bible does it say that the woman has to be the carer of the home. I mean, if you read the Bible thoroughly, there are implications to that. So the woman being able to run her household, and that's kind of like the ideal woman in God's eyes, is a woman who is able to have her household in order. However, she's taking that from the idea that if the man is working, if the man is providing, then the woman being the homemaker allows the man that freedom of thought and that ease to be able to do his job better. So the masculine and the feminine roles are different in function. However, they're both equal. One is not greater than the other. A man's role and a woman's role in marriage work together. And she talks about how there was a book where the author talked about it as a lock and a key. A lock and a key are not the same, obviously, but you need the key to open the lock in order to get through the door. You need them both. They're both essential. They both function in different ways, but they function together for a common goal, for a common purpose. So your husband may be the key and you may be the lock, and you need to work together to open up your destiny as a couple and have a happy marriage. Then she talks about the division of labor in a marriage, and how when you're married, it's so important for you and your husband to have a division of labor, meaning there are certain tasks and roles that he is going to take care of, and there are certain tasks and roles that you're going to take care of. And she gave an example about how there was a study done where men and women lived in this community together. And in the community, there was no division of labor. Everyone did the same tasks, the same like physical labor tasks, the same domestic tasks like cooking and cleaning. The men and the women did everything together. And what they found at the end of it was that there are some things that just by the natural makeup of a man, he was better at. And the natural makeup of a woman, she was better at. It wasn't about us trying to force one gender into a specific role. It's just our God-given build made us better at certain things. Like the men are just better able to do the physical labor because they're just stronger. Their hands are bigger. Their hands are able to just take on more. Whereas when the men try to do things like sewing and trying to do these little things that required maybe smaller hands, maybe more agile hands, the women were better at that. And what they found was that at the end of it all, there was so much resentment between the men and the women, because when the men were doing the women's tasks, they were getting frustrated. And when the women were doing the men's tasks, they were getting frustrated. And it caused so much resentment. And it all came back to God's original design anyway, that God divided us in certain ways as men and women to do things differently, to avoid contention and hostility. So she says that when we talk about marriage, one of the greatest successes is when each person does their own respective roles and they don't forcefully take over another person's role. Okay, because when they do that, that can cause resentment and anger. Or if one person shows anxious concern for another person's performance or lack of performance. So just kind of letting the other person have their thing and trusting that they're going to take care of it and not forcefully taking over it or not anxiously showing constant concern that it won't be done. So she says, to succeed in your role, you must accept your womanly duties with a keen sense of responsibility. Let it be your concern, your worry. You can, of course, employ servants or assign your children to help out, but ultimately, you're the one who must see that it is done. To further succeed, learn the feminine arts and skills. There are certain things that are considered feminine arts and skills in the home. And some men are aware of this and require this or desire it. And some men maybe don't think so much about it. But you'll find, again, if you're looking at men who are masculine men who are truly in their role, they're not children, they're not immature, they're not so swept away by the whims of society. They're grounded men who are serious about having a beautiful family. These men are going to expect something from you. These kind of men are the men, first of all, that I believe will make the best husbands and fathers, but they do also require something from the woman. So learn how to cook, learn how to clean, learn how to manage a household. Now, there are some women who hate cooking and they refuse to cook or they don't know how to cook. And again, like, depending on who you're with, that may be okay, but I have seen men personally where their wives don't cook at all. And yes, they tolerate it. They order Postmates every day, or maybe they'll hire a chef to cook. But their deepest desire is that they wish that their wife would. Like, it's just something that they can't, like, openly express, but when they get pushed to express it, they do. Like, if this person gets around their mother or their family, that's when you hear them say it. Or maybe they'll see their friends at their friend's house and their friend's wife is cooking and they just desire that. Like, it's just something that makes them feel really good knowing that their wife is able to cook. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be a great cook, but knowing that their wife is willing to make something and doesn't, like, completely say, I will never, ever cook, I hate it. And of course, again, it depends on who you're married to. Some men are more understanding in these ways. But again, just because someone is understanding doesn't mean that they don't desire something, even if they don't voice it to you. And I just want you to know that so that you're aware of everything. And maybe on their birthday or something, you can do something special. At least knowing these things is what's important. Also, cleaning and managing a household. These are things that, depending on where you live, it may not be as important. If you live in a culture where you have maids and you have, like, house help, you're not really gonna be cooking or cleaning. Like, you don't have to, right? And that's okay. You don't have to. But at least knowing how to manage the household is important. Learning how to make sure you have the money for the groceries, learning, you know, what needs to be cleaned, who you need to call to get the leaves trimmed, and who you need to call to get the paint updated, and all the different things that a home requires. And I say this because there are people who live in other cultures who listen to this podcast. Obviously, I live here in the US, and here most people don't have maids and house help. They do everything themselves. But I recognize that in other countries, that's not the case. And if you live with your parents for a very long time, because that's the culture, and you don't leave the home until you are probably married, you may have never had your own home to run. You don't know what that's like. Or maybe you live in a combined family. So maybe you're already married, but you still live with your parents. And that's just part of the culture. Like, it's okay to do that. You still live there. They run the home. There is another mother, right? Like, your mother or your mother-in-law runs the home. You don't have to do any of that stuff. What does your husband expect from you then? I feel like those are the trickier situations, because you don't have to cook. You're not managing the home. The home's not yours to manage. You're just living there. In those situations, you really don't get the opportunity to manage your own household. And some people may find that as a blessing, but to be honest, a lot of times we as women want to have our own spaces to run. It may be tiring and it may be annoying, but it is nice to have your own kitchen, your own house, and learning how to make it something that brings value to your family. And in those circumstances, you can find other ways to make something else your own. So you can design the bedroom that you stay in. You can try to plan little trips and picnics and little things that you and your husband can do together, where you plan it out, where you manage it. You get the food, you get the blanket, you pick the location, and you kind of bring him some of those wifely sort of whims that he's missing, and let it be something that he gets to see in you still, because those things are still important, and you don't want to ever disqualify those things from your life, because you never know when it's your turn. If that mother moves or passes away or whatever, and you now become the woman of the house, are you going to know how to do any of those things? Are you going to know how to manage the home? Because he's going to expect that from you. So I didn't want to go on a long rant about that, but I felt the Lord just kind of really pressing in on that, that this is something that needs to be recognized regardless of the situation that you're in, because it is something that makes you whole in terms of a woman. You being your husband's helpmeet in all aspects, and him seeing you as capable and seeing you as valuable in the home. Also, learning how to thrift, learning how to shop for things for the family that's not going to put the family in a hole. So learning how to be able to say, okay, well, I got all of my food from Whole Foods, which is a really expensive organic market. Maybe instead of getting all the food from here, which blows the budget, where we can't have anything extra, I will only get the meat, the organic meat and vegetables from here, and then I'll get the snacks and juices and things from Target or from a regular grocery store. Learning kind of just how to thrift, especially if you're in a home where you have a lot of children or your husband doesn't make quite that much money, you want to make sure that you know how to live on a budget. And that's an important skill. Also, learning how to take care of children, learning how to rear children, because that is the majority of your job as a wife and mother, is to take care of them. So learning how to manage your children, how to discipline your children, how to nurture your children, all of this is expected of you as a wife. And a lot of these things may not come natural to you if you didn't grow up around it, you didn't have examples of it. You want something, but you actually don't know how to get there or how to be like that. Then now is the time to start looking for those things, trying to find some books, trying to find some YouTube channels, watching people who are able to do this in the way that you admire, and praying about the Lord kind of bringing those kinds of people into your life. There is a serious level of self-sacrifice in this, in your role as a feminine woman, a feminine wife and mother. There is a huge level of self-sacrifice, but that is part of your role, is forgetting about yourself and devoting yourself to the welfare and the happiness of your family. To further succeed, it's also necessary to help your husband to succeed in his role. And the way you do this is by understanding masculine needs. And in the book, she highlights three specific masculine needs that your husband needs. The first is a man needs to function in his masculine role as the guide, the protector, and the provider. Let's talk about that. Functioning in his masculine role. So first of all, he needs to function as the head of the family. There is no he wears the pants and I'm the belt and I wear the pants. I don't know, these stupid sayings that I hear women saying, like, they want to always up the man and be the one who's in charge. That's just completely against the design of God. And it may be funny in conversation, but when that actually is a dynamic of your marriage, it's very dangerous. He wears the pants. That's it. You don't have to add anything to that. He wears the pants. And that means that he is the head of the family. And to be the head means that he is the one who runs the family. Understanding that he needs to function like this. He needs to know that that is his role. If your man feels like it's not, that you share that, or that you're the one who runs the family, I promise you, he will take his seat in the back. He will sit back and watch you run that marriage, run that home, and run yourself into the grave. You will be stressed out, tired, miserable, angry, because you're doing everything. And he'll watch you do it with no problem. And he'll be complaining as he's watching you do it. He won't even be grateful, because it's not your role. As his wife, you're there to honor him and support him in the position of head of the family. And he also needs to succeed in earning the living and meeting his family's essential needs. And he needs to do this independent of you or with the help of anyone. He needs to feel that he can fully support his family. That is important to a man. And of course, he needs to be serving as a protector and sheltering his family from any harm, any danger, or any difficulty. You taking over those roles forcefully will cause damage. So allowing him to be that for the family. He also needs to feel needed in his masculine role. A man needs to feel needed. And I know sometimes I'll get comments from ladies, especially on YouTube, where they'll say, like, so I'm supposed to act helpless? And I get it. Like, you don't want to pretend like you're helpless when you're not. But that's the whole issue here. It's not that you're helpless. He knows you're not helpless. He knows that. It's not about you being helpless. It's about you saying, I know I can, but I also know your desire to want to help me. So I'm going to open up some space for that. It is all about how you see things. Some people, some women, get so caught up in what's fair and what's stupid and what's silly and what's beneath them. And that's why they struggle. That's why they struggle to be in a relationship, to get married, to stay married, is because they're so caught up in all the stuff that doesn't even matter. Who cares? Who cares if you have to act like you're helpless? If that's what's going to bring joy and harmony into the marriage, it's for you to take a seat and let him do the work. How is that hurting you? Please tell me how that's hurting you. Do you want to suffer? Do you want to fight? Do you want to strain? Do you want to be the one to exert all the energy in every single aspect of your life? What does it take away from you? It is the same thing as you being with a young child and your young child wanting to pour the water into the batter. You're making a cake and they want to be the one to pour it. And you saying, oh, I need you to pour it for me. And them getting so excited because you know they want to pour it. And they pour it in. Now that young child may or may not know that you don't actually need it. But where is the joy coming in? The joy is coming in you taking a step back, leaving a little room for that child to help you. The child is so excited that they get to do something to help mom, that they get to help in making this cake, that they got a role, that they got to do something fun, and you're happy seeing them happy. It is the same concept. You're happy because they are happy, because you know that this is something that they desire, not because you can't pour your own water into your batter. Of course you can. So, it is a mental shift, ladies. It is a mental shift. If you are struggling with giving up so much control, there is a deeper issue inside of you that you need to work out with God. It is more than just a conversation. This is something deeply rooted if you cannot take your hands off the wheel for a second. When a man does not feel needed in his masculine role, this is a great loss to him. Because he needs this so bad and it's so deeply rooted, it truly does hurt him. And for some men, when they start to truly feel like they're not needed at all, they may even question their reason for living. For some men, it is that deep. It can affect their feelings towards you as their wife, you know, just feeling tender towards you. Because his romantic feelings, part of it comes from his need to provide for her and to care for her. This is very difficult for you ladies who struggle with people pleasing or struggle with self-esteem, because you may feel like the only way to really get a man to love you is for you to always do and for them to know how much you do for them. And by you asking for things, by you inconveniencing him, by you needing him, it makes you look weak. You become a burden. You are not as desirable as another woman who doesn't need any of that stuff. It's actually not true. Let me free you from that. Let me free you from that bondage, that lie of the devil. It's actually not true. And it seems backward in your mind because you've been programmed maybe by your childhood to have to give, or to have to have sex with your boyfriend or do all this stuff to be seen as the one, this ideal woman, to give in to all of his desires in order to be seen as the one. It's actually the other way around. And that is a hard thing to believe, but just try it. Try it and see. The only way that this backfires, and it's a good thing for those of you who are dating to know this, the only way this backfires is if you are dating a man who's actually not masculine. A man who's immature and who's not masculine, because they will get upset. They will complain. They will, how come you can't do it? I don't want to do that. How come? Those men are going to be highlighted. They'll do all those things and then you'll see. And once you see, then you'll say, okay, this is what I'm dealing with. It's only, you know, really problematic when you're married to them, because at that point you're already married and it's very, very difficult. But when you're still dating and you see that, you know what kind of man you're dealing with, and you need to understand this is who he is and not think it's going to change. That's who he is. Even if he was programmed that way by his parents, it doesn't matter. You're not going to reprogram him, unprogram him. That's what you're dealing with. And you need to believe it and see that as what it is. But for those of you who struggle with your self-esteem and thinking that you have to give up so much of yourself for a man, give up your body, give up money, give up all of these things, you're actually dealing with something else, something deeply rooted inside yourself that says that you're not enough. You can't get help from a man without giving him something. He expects something if he helps you. Not a real man. Not a real man. A real man does not expect something because he helps you. Absolutely not. That's not true. But if you're dealing with low-level men, yes. That's what you're dealing with, though. So you know the difference. And the last area that a masculine man needs is to excel women in masculine roles. So a man is actually not really aware of this particular need to excel women until a situation comes up that threatens him, such as when a woman outsmarts him in his own field, or she advances to a higher position that brings home a bigger paycheck than him, or excels him in anything that requires masculine strength, skill, competence, or ability. And I have heard men from time to time say that they don't mind if their wife makes more than them. That doesn't intimidate them. They're okay with that. And of course, this is individual. Some men are okay with that, as long as the woman is not, you know, just making a big deal of it or trying to say that she gets to make more decisions because of it, or lives a different lifestyle than him because of it. Some men are actually okay with that. But again, I will always go back to this because I have to say things as they are. There are some men who are okay with certain things because maybe they are a little bit feminine. And that's okay. It's not the end of the world. Okay, he's a little bit more feminine. Some men are a little bit more feminine. It's there. It's there enough for them to still be in their feminine at times where you would hope that they're actually still in their masculine. But that's okay. It's okay if it works for your marriage. But just know that sometimes some men are okay with things because they're not actually masculine men. And that's okay if it works for you. But you just have to also understand, because some men will say certain things and you think just because this man says it that this is the norm or this is what to expect from the average man, and it is not. The average man is not okay with it. And also, just because a man says he's okay with something also doesn't mean he is. So I've seen couples go on shows and things like that, and they'll ask the wife a question. The husband's, oh, I don't mind that she makes more money than me. I don't mind. But they're lying. They're lying. We have to accept that people do lie. And sometimes they lie because they're lying to themselves. And sometimes they lie because they just don't want to be embarrassed. Okay, so we have to always take things in that way and remember that we always have to look at the average person, the majority, instead of looking at the minority, because you probably aren't with someone who is in the minority. You're probably with an average person. So just keep that in mind. Some people will form their entire logic over one man saying that he's okay with something. That's one man. That's not your man. And we have to recognize that. So the average man is not okay with it. The average man wants to feel that he is the man and he is succeeding at his manliness. If he dates you and he knows already that you make significantly more money than him, then he is aware. Then clearly that is not a big deal to him. It's different when it wasn't always that way and then something happens. Maybe you weren't even working when you met and now you do and you got a promotion and now you're making significantly more than him. Or maybe you're like a social media person or creator and something you did just took off. You didn't expect that documentary to take off the way it did, but now you're earning like significantly more money than him. Many men struggle with this. And let's be real, society doesn't help. Society doesn't help, especially if people know. They just assume that the man is the woman's like pet or something. If the woman is very successful and they're dating an average man, they're not dating a man who is more successful than she is, there is always a stigma where they just believe that this woman is using this guy as a pet, or this man is this feminine person. I mean, we have seen it everywhere, but I'm not someone who is very rooted in the culture, which is not good. Sometimes I do need to bring myself back down to earth and know what's going on, because I really don't really ever know what's going on. But the last thing I remember seeing a while ago was Rihanna, and she had this magazine photo of her and I don't know if it's her husband, but maybe it's her husband, ASAP Rocky, her children's father. And they were walking on the beach and she was walking in front and he was walking behind her and he had the baby. And there was so much drama over that cover because of the fact that, for one, again, like, we're looking at masculine and feminine roles. Who's leading? She was in front of him. That's already like, okay, I guarantee you there would have been less conversation if he was in front of her walking. But just that slight difference is so powerful. And then the fact that he was with the child. So it's like, you may think that we're in this era where everything is like normalized, but it's not, because these things are very inherent within us as people. It is very difficult for us to take a man seriously when we see the woman is much more successful than he is. And we hope that the man doesn't feel it, but he always does. And that's a sad thing. Like, it's not sad, but that's the reality of it, is that he also feels it. And the prayer is that whoever that couple is, they're so secure within themselves that if they're okay with that arrangement because it works for them, then they're fine. But, you know, I feel like I'm talking in circles here. I just, from all that I have ever seen, if they're dealing with a man, Even if the man is a feminine man, even when I have seen men, even though they are feminine, they still care about these things. It is put in there by God. It's so deeply rooted that even if they're mostly feminine, they still care about these things. And this can be as simple as like you playing a sport with a man. I've talked about this before. If you're doing something with your husband and you're winning too much, you will start to see that there will be an unconscious sometimes like irritation that pops up. Or maybe he won't be able to stop talking about how he's letting you win or how something went wrong with the game. I mean, it's very difficult for a man to accept a woman, his woman especially, beating him at a game or at a skill. Will he accept it? Yes, but you'll see his demeanor change. You'll see it. It'll be very obvious. And it's not to say that there's something wrong with them. This is how they're made. They don't want it. Mostly because they want to impress you. They want you to see them in a certain way. And they're human. You're going to be better at some things. You might be faster than him. You guys might race and you're faster than him. And you'll see how much that takes a hit at his self-esteem. He may not even want to talk to you. And you're like, what's the big deal? Especially if you try to rub it in. And you try to make fun of him, or it's done in a public way where maybe you're lifting weights or something or doing something very masculine and you win. Hoo-wee. Just know it comes with repercussions because internally there's something more that it means to them than it does to you. For you, it's not a big deal. But because it's not a big deal for you, it's important for you to make adjustments for that. Don't rub it in. Realize that if you do make more money than him, find a way to still balance that in terms of his masculinity. This is something that will probably require prayer and wisdom from God for your unique circumstance, but you never want it to get to a point where he is doing all the feminine roles and he's really a masculine man. Have you ever watched the movie called The Intern? It's such a good movie. I really, really enjoy that movie. I like that actress. Let me find out what her name is. She was in the movie The Devil Wears Prada. I think it's Anne Hathaway. Yeah, Anne Hathaway. I really like her. And she did this movie. I think it's Robert De Niro. And I really love the movie. If you haven't had a chance to watch it, I would recommend that you watch it. But in the movie, she is this high-powered woman. And she's very much in her masculine, but she has a beautiful life. She has a daughter. She has a beautiful home. She has a daughter. She has a loving husband. And her husband assumed the responsibility of taking care of the daughter and taking her to the park and doing all that stuff while she works this really intense job. And you get to watch in the movie how her life sort of goes. And this is very typical. It's very typical. Her husband ended up having this whole double life that she didn't even know. He was sleeping with some woman that was another mom that he would meet at the park because he just felt so emasculated with her. And you would have never thought he was doing this. If you watch the movie, like if you see how he acts, you would never have thought that he was doing this. He seemed like some loving, happy husband, but he wasn't. He wasn't. But he was miserable because he wasn't in his masculine and he should have been. And so I'm not saying that this is the case for every marriage. I'm not, because it depends on who you're married to and your dynamics. But it would be unwise of me to not mention these things, because some of you actually may be on the verge of something like that happening because your eyes are closed, you're asleep. You're not alert to these things. You're not aware. And I want you to wake up. I want you to wake up and talk to God and figure out what goes on in your marriage in terms of what should be happening, what isn't happening, what needs to happen more for your husband to feel like he is truly in his masculine based on the way that you treat him. And then, of course, she goes on to talk about society, kind of like what I just talked about, and how things have gotten very rocky with men and their masculinity because of the fact that we have come to this place where the genders are equalized in their duties and their functions, and that really affects men. And then she talks about how it's really bad at home for a lot of couples because a woman takes control and tries to run things her way in the household. She says that disappearing is a trusting wife who looked to her husband for strong guidance, a strong arm to lean on. The masculine arm may be there, but she's not leaning on it. She does many of the masculine chores herself. The independence of women is making masculine care and protection unnecessary. And this is a loss to both of them. When a man's deprived of his masculine function, he feels less needed, and then he feels less masculine. And for the woman, when she takes on these masculine roles, she loses her femininity and she loses her gentleness. And when that's rocked, then there is a loss of serenity in the home, which is needed. And the woman being grounded in that really does stabilize the home. So how do you succeed in this? In order to succeed, it's important to keep in mind the masculine role as a man if you want him to be happy. He must function as the masculine and he must feel needed and he must excel you in his masculine role. Let him lead the family and let him do the masculine jobs around the house and let him provide the living. Only in rare emergencies should you step over his role and do the masculine work. And as he functions in his masculine role, don't expect perfection. Don't scrutinize his performance and see if he's doing things right. If he neglects his masculine duties and it causes you severe problems, don't complain. Instead, say to him, "Listen, I have a problem." And state clearly what your problem is and the trouble it's caused, and then ask him, "Listen to this. What was the first thing?" Let him know, "I have a problem." Once he hears problem, he gets into his masculine mode. "Okay, she has a problem. Let's solve this," right? He doesn't know it's about him. You just say, "Hey, babe, I have a problem." He's going to say, "What is it?" "Well, lately I've noticed that my car has been really dirty. It hasn't been washed and it's just causing me embarrassment and making me feel really filthy. How do you think we can handle this?" Okay, obviously, you have a problem with him. He hasn't been washing the car. He's supposed to wash the car and he's not doing it. The problem is with him and he knows that. But you did not make it a whole big scene. You did not complain and nag and make it dramatic. You're just telling him, "This is a problem I have. The car has been dirty. It's making me feel gross and embarrassed. Like, what can we do about this?" And when you say, "How do you think I should handle it?" this honors him as a leader. It puts the problem on his shoulders and it helps him to feel needed. If he continues to fail in his duty, be patient. Change comes slowly. We have to always honor these qualities that are of God. It is easy to fall into this thinking of the world and think that everything has to be the way you want it all the time. That is false thinking. It's not reality, and it's why so many women and men end up being divorced. Because we're not able to have any endurance through problems and through changes. Patience is necessary and patience is hard. It's hard. This is not something easy that I'm asking you to do. It's actually hard. When you feel that pain in your stomach because it's hard, talk to God. Ask God for strength. Ask God for more. But don't run away from it and ruin your own marriage. Change comes slowly. But to further succeed, offer him appreciation. Appreciation really massages things. A man's role is not easy. His greatest reward is your appreciation for his daily efforts. And be lavish in your appreciation. Don't try to hold back when it comes to appreciating him. You may feel silly. You may feel like, "Oh, I'm faking or I'm being dramatic." This is a time for you to be dramatic. Allow him to know just how much you appreciate him. What's the harm? What's the harm? That's what I want to ask you. What's the harm? You know, when we see and talk to lots of women who have husbands who have died, that is something that a lot of women regret, is that the man did not know just how much he was appreciated. She didn't say it enough. She would have said it so much more. She didn't say it enough. Don't let that be you. I want you to know without a shadow of a doubt that he knows just how much you appreciate him. Always. That is his greatest reward, is your appreciation for his daily efforts, and it may mean more to him than his paycheck. Money is money, but your appreciation, the way that that will stick to his heart, is what fuels him. Now, then she goes into talking about the blurring of the roles and how when a man and a woman's roles are not distinctly divided, it's called blurring of the roles. And in this case, the woman does part of the man's work and he does part of the woman's work, which is what we talked about earlier. And when this arrangement is temporary, it's not a big deal. If someone is sick, if there's a pregnancy, if there's something going on, that's fine. But if it becomes a lifestyle, it can be injurious to the family. If children are to develop their sexual nature, they need a strong masculine and feminine image to pattern from. The mother demonstrates the feminine image when she functions in her feminine role, as she moves around the house in feminine clothes, tending to her domestic work, tending to caring for her children, and nursing her baby. She provides this image. If she also indicates contentment and happiness in her role, she's giving her children a positive picture of femininity. This is so important, ladies. I know that it's hard to be this way and do these things, but it's all about making the time to be intentional about it. Try to wear more dresses. I know this may sound stupid, but try. It makes a huge difference to your children when they see you in a dress. I know it might sound so insignificant, but think about this. Think about your mother. And if you didn't have a mother, think about the woman that raised you if you had one. And if you didn't have one, think about the mother in your imagination, the mother you would have loved in your imagination. What is she wearing? Is she wearing slacks and a t-shirt? She's wearing a dress probably because that is the image of femininity, of nurture. I absolutely love wearing dresses because they're just easy. I don't like having to think about styling things, so dresses are my default. I love dresses, but after having my son, I love dresses even more. I love flowy dresses. I like long dresses. And I love it because when he runs and he hugs me, he always runs into my dress. And one time I was at the park with him and there was a woman wearing the kind of dress that I normally wear. And I think I may have even had on pants that day. And he was running and he thought it was me. And he ran right into her dress and hugged her leg and then looked up and realized it wasn't me because he's associated me with long flowy dresses. And he loves running into my dresses. And I absolutely love him running into my dresses. It's a beautiful part of his childhood. And it may sound very silly to you, but I guarantee when he grows up, he's going to remember running into his mom wearing a flowery, beautiful feminine dress. That's going to be part of his memories. And those are things that he's going to associate with women and the kind of woman that he wants to be with. Not a woman who wears jeans every single day and at home, but wears things that are soft. And these things are going to help you to feel more feminine. It's not just for them, it's also for you. But she's specifically talking about your role. So we're going to focus on others. There's always a lot of talk about ourselves. Let's focus on others, okay? We're focusing on your husband and your children and how they interact and experience you. And that experience is a lot more pleasant when you actually dress feminine at home. It may not be every day and all the time, and it doesn't have to be, but it's more about the connection, the default, the memory. These things may seem very small to you, but they're actually a big deal. They make a big deal in the image of the woman. And it's important for women to see an image of femininity and of masculinity starting at a young age to be able to make a difference between the two genders, especially in the confusing world we live in today. They need to know the truth and they need to know the difference. When the father functions in his masculine role as a strong leader, the protector, and the provider, and when his children are given the opportunity to see him in action once in a while, like action while he's working, and they willingly see that he assumes his masculine responsibilities and enjoys his work, he provides them with a favorable masculine image. So it's not only you being beautiful and happy doing your womanly tasks around the home, but your husband also being strong and happy doing his masculine work. This provides a distinct masculine and feminine image in the home. And boys grow up to be masculine men, and girls grow up to be feminine women. And then she goes on to talk about some things that I don't necessarily agree with, just based on the education that's been provided to us now. Maybe at the time that the book was written, she didn't have the education on this as much as we have now. But she did go on and talk about how she believes that homosexuality is traced to homes that have a blurring of roles, and girls are doing men's things and men are doing women's things. I don't necessarily believe that that's how homosexuality develops, but I obviously don't know if in some cases this could be a factor. I don't know. But she does talk about that in the book. Either way, outside of homosexuality, just men being in their masculine, because this man is going to be someone's husband, and it would be a shame to raise up a little boy to become a feminine husband because he did not see a clear example of a man in the home. He did not see a clear example of a woman in the home. And even if you're not married and he's not really seeing a man or a woman's role, or you're a single mom, so you have to do both, so you're worried that maybe he's not going to know the difference. Don't worry. In those cases where he is seeing you do masculine and feminine things, you can have him start helping you with the masculine things and appreciating him for it and allowing him to know that this is something that is expected of a man. When you do that, when he knows there is a difference, he will develop and grow in that way. You don't have to worry about that. But he has to know at a young age what's expected of him and get those responsibilities early and know where to draw the line. If you see him trying to do things that you think are things that are just very feminine, letting him know, no, this is for girls. This is for girls, but you're a boy. And letting him know that at a young age, because again, in the world we live in now, they're going to need this now more than ever, because society is trying to blur everything out and make us all nothing. Okay, so we have to do this in the home. It is our responsibility as parents. So it's important to know that boys and girls should learn domestic skills. And I think it's important for people to just learn everything that they need in life and have at least some exposure to it. I don't think that it's wise to completely shut out your son from learning how to cook, learning how to iron his clothes, learning how to wash his clothes, even if those are deemed feminine, maternal-like homekeeping chores. He should still have exposure to it, even if it won't be his primary job in the future. I think that's important. She doesn't mention that, but I do think that it's necessary for him to at least be self-sufficient and know how to take care of himself fully. Now, some people will ask, is this fair? Is it actually fair for a woman to work a 9-to-5, be super tired, come home, and then be this feminine wife and take on these feminine roles and wear this long flowy maxi dress when she just had a long day at work? Like, is it fair? Why do I have to take care of the children and cook and clean and make the home beautiful and smile and have sex and blah, blah, blah? Like, why? It's not fair. And it isn't fair. I'm just going to say it's not. It's not. But what is our design? Where did we come from? What does God expect of us? What is our role? Why are we with this man? What are we doing for the family? Are we doing more than we should? Why? Is it okay to tell your husband, look, honey, I love living here in New York. It is beautiful. I love it. I grew up here. All my friends are here. But I really want to be a woman who takes care of you and takes care of the children and takes care of the home. And I want to just experience being a writer. And I'm willing to move from this beautiful luxury apartment here in New York and live somewhere in Texas, in a rural city, live in another country or wherever. Like, I'm willing to move to wherever we can live that you can afford and will provide me the ability to take care of the home. And yes, it'll be a sacrifice in your end. You won't have all your luxuries. But if it's so important for you to be able to be in your feminine and experience these things, then you'll have to give up some of those pleasures. But just be open to everything. Sometimes you're overdoing it and it's like, for what? Why are you working so hard? Why are you working so many hours? Do you need to live in this place? Do you need to have these kinds of clothes? Do you need to have this car? Do your children need all of these expensive things? Can you simplify your life, cut a lot of things out, and actually be more happy and healthy? That's something to think about. It's something to pray about. It's something to consider because it could be the answer to changing your entire life. In the book, she says that a lot of women do complain about this, but what her explanation is, which I do think is interesting, is that yes, as a woman, you're the one taking care of the kids, right? And you're the one, and that's a lot of work. I mean, that is, to me, as someone who has worked and been in the real world working and busting my butt, and someone who is a homemaker now taking care of my children, this work is much harder than being in the office. Much more mentally draining, physically exhausting. It is, if it's about which one is easier or harder, I would go back to work because it's easier and I'm making a lot of money. But it's not about which one is easier or harder. It's about the fact that when you work outside of your home, you have to do both. You have to do both. That is incredibly difficult. And you may look at your husband like, why does he get to chill and relax after work when I have to keep working? My job is not over. You're getting off at 5 o'clock and you're thinking, okay, here comes my next shift. That can be just tiring to even think about sometimes. But what she talks about is that, yes, you're putting in this labor of love, but what happens is that eventually, after a certain amount of years, your children will grow up and they will leave. And you will not have this very big part of your life to worry about. You will have nothing but free time to relax and enjoy and do whatever you want to do. But your husband will continue to work until he dies. Even if he retires, he is going to still be expected to protect and provide the family until he dies. So what she's saying is not to get so worried, because at some point your job will end in this way and you won't have to be this stressed for very long. And because of that, she feels like it is fair. Yes, you may have more on your plate now, but yours is going to end and you're going to have many, many years of being able to relax, at least 40 years of relaxation. Granted that you don't work outside of the house. If you're a homemaker, your job will be done when that child goes to college. So that's something that, you know, is interesting to think about, but that's her explanation. I don't know if that would make me feel better, but it does make sense mentally. In the end, what she says is to try to do your work willingly. Don't expect too much of your husband. Instead of complaining because he doesn't help you more, keep your marriage intact and cultivate romantic feelings. This is something I did want to press in on, is the idea of you cultivating romantic feelings, because these things don't just come up on their own. You're not going to just magically feel romantic towards your husband, especially if you feel like the division of labor is unfair. But it's something you're going to have to cultivate. You're going to have to work on. You're going to have to intentionally say, this is what I'm doing because I want my marriage to work. I want to be a happy wife. I am grateful for my family. And this is what I'm going to do because of it. And this is a memory I want my children to have of me. I want them to see a mom who's happy. I want them to close their eyes. And when they imagine me with a smile. That means that you're going to have to make yourself do things you don't want to do. And in the end, when you have God, these things aren't so hard. Yes, they are hard, but they're not nearly as hard as they are without God. When you have God, He gives you a joy that you can't even explain. You should be so tired that you can't smile, yet you're smiling and skipping and dancing around the house. Because God can do anything. He can do that for you. He can help you in so many different ways when you sacrifice yourself and you give all of your stresses, your anxieties, and your worries to God. That is one thing that a lot of people completely count out, and it's the most important thing in making your life beautiful. Whether you stay at home with your children, whether you're a single mother, whether you are married and you work, it doesn't matter. In all of those situations, the only real joy you will ever have is if you have a relationship with God and God is guiding you through all of these different things. None of these things in and of themselves are going to actually make you a happy feminine woman. It doesn't mean that. It's not guaranteed. The only guarantee is the fullness of joy by being in the presence of God and having God help you with everything. Lastly, she gives a testimonial of a woman who read her book, and this is what she said. My husband and I were seriously thinking of separation when I started to read Fascinating Womanhood. We could not even be in the same house together without a fight. We were both miserable. There were children to consider, both of our folks, his business, and years of building a home together. But we were both to the point of not being able to endure life together anymore. Then I began practicing what I learned in Fascinating Womanhood. When a battle would begin, I would run to our bedroom where I kept the book hidden and read some advice on the particular situation. Then I would come out and be calm and reasonable. Within a few days, a noticeable change had taken place in our household. My husband began to look at me in astonishment, then curiosity, then with awe, and then with affection. When he saw my changed attitude, he began to change too. It is one of those times when a large miracle is brought about in a simple way and in a short time. We were both so grateful for peace and harmony at last, and we are still at peace around here, and it's been almost 14 months since I read the book. Yes, there are still some things that we don't approve of in each other, but we have learned tolerance and patience. This has been the greatest year of growth for the entire family that we have known in 11 years of our marriage. My husband has not only become a better husband, but an incredible better father. Our home at last has a strong foundation on which to build the kind of life we've always dreamed of. And sweetie, if you're struggling in being able to really differentiate your roles from your husband and really being able to accept your role as his helper, one thing I always say to do is to always go back to gratitude. Being grateful is always the one thing that will pull you out of self-pity. Being grateful that you do have this life. You are healthy enough to have a job and to work. Someone decided to hire you. You have someone who is willing to marry you and to be with you. You have a child. You have a beautiful person that God trusted you with to raise in this world. You have clothes. You have a nice smelling lotion. You have food to eat. Being grateful for every single thing, especially the hope that things will get better, is what's going to bring you that peace that you're missing. That's what's going to ground you, is gratitude. Taking time to remove yourself. If you're just in a mood, remove yourself. Go outside. Take a breath of fresh air and think about the goodness of God and thank him. And if you can't go outside, or if going outside makes you feel more miserable, then go somewhere else outside. Turn on your phone and watch a video of a beautiful French countryside or an ocean or a gorgeous villa in South Africa or someone having a delightful breakfast in Japan. You know, just watch something that's just totally out of your element and enjoy that for a moment. Just remove yourself from where you are and just be grateful that there are so many things in life that you can slip into through the goodness of God. He will bring about so much joy and peace in your heart when you're able to say, thank you, Lord. If for nothing else, thank you for giving me you. Thank you that I can come here, I can retreat, and I can bring you into my heart. I can access you within my soul. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for holding me and reminding me of your love. Thank you for everything that you've done for me and that you're going to do for me. I love you. You would be surprised those small moments of just touching in with God can bring the greatest miracles that you could ever imagine. And I'm excited for you, and I'm here to help. I hope that this message was a blessing to you, and I hope that you have a beautiful rest of your day. Thank you for spending time here with me and listening to this. If you want to listen to these podcasts without any ads, you can feel free to subscribe to this podcast. And by paying $3 a month, you'll have access to my catalog with no ads. Also, please share this podcast with someone that you think it could help. And if you post it on social media, make sure to tag me at the Dr. Daff Show and at Dr. Michelle Daff. Until next time, my loves, remember that in all things you do, make a feminine impression. Bye-bye.